Hello, Faith Lutheran Church. It's Pastor Terrell, and it's time for a little reflection on what we discussed yesterday during our classes and worship. We heard in our Bible study, we're working through 2 Corinthians, and yesterday we read through and looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. This is just one section. And Paul is talking here about how we are, that is the church, we are the temple of the living God, that God dwells among us, who he has made holy and righteous through the work of his beloved Son, Jesus. He has done this work for us. He has made us clean. He has made us holy. He has made us righteous through the death and resurrection of his Son, his beloved Son. And so now he dwells with us through the Word, through the pure Word of God, and the sacraments that he has given us. He is present in the bread and wine. He's present there in the water of baptism. He is present there in those places and dwells among us like our Father. And so he calls us his children. All right, but Paul in this section is saying, warning, I think, really, to be careful, because the dwelling place of God or the people of God cannot be mingled with, matched with. He uses the word yoked with, things that are lawless. So unrighteous or dark, that are worthless, that reject the things of God, that worship idols. We cannot call ourselves the temple of God while we worship fake gods, false gods, idols. We cannot say that we are the righteous people of God and then live a life of lawlessness in partnership with the world. Okay, in partnership with the elemental principles of the world, Paul will say in other places. Okay, and so I didn't bring this up. Maybe we'll talk briefly about it this coming Sunday, April 10th. But this made me think about, while I was studying it, the Israelites and their journey. They have come out of Egypt. They have been before God at Mount Sinai, and they're coming after 40 years, have come to the Jordan River. It's time for them to go in and inhabit the land that God has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is fulfilling this covenant, this promise he has made to his people. And he says to them that, this is in the book of Joshua, the book of Judges. He says to them, you have to get these pagans, these unbelievers, out of here. You have to drive them out, get rid of them, kill them, drive them out, get rid of everything, burn their places of false worship, burn their idols, get rid of them, right? And in other words, cleanse the land of unbelief so that they do not become a snare to you, a trap, so that they don't corrupt your hearts and minds from true worship and true faith and trust in Yahweh, the Lord, their God. Okay, and what happens is they don't cleanse the land. They don't drive these people out. They don't get rid of them. They actually marry some of them. They give their sons and daughters to them, and they take their sons and daughters for theirs. And they intermarry with them. They retain some of their places of worship. They leave them there. I think they enslave some of the pagan, the unbelievers in the land. And so what happens is, just what God said would happen, that their hearts and minds, which were supposed to be devoted to the Lord their God, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all that you have. They're supposed to be utterly devoted with all that they have to the Lord their God, who has delivered them into this place. But instead, they start worshiping the false gods of the Canaanites and the Hittites and, the list can go on and on. But in other words, they yoke themselves with unbelievers. They make partnerships with lawlessness. They have fellowship with darkness. Okay, all the things Paul is listing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, they do. They exchange the temple of the living God, or they exchange the living God for dead idols. And so Paul's warning us here, he's warning you, me, the church of today, of the very same thing. And so we had a long discussion on examples of modern, our time, contemporary time, places where the church of the living God, the church of God in Christ Jesus, has yoked itself with the principles of the world, the philosophies, the teaching, the values, the love, the depravity and perversion of the world that we live in. And there were lots of examples. This took up a lot of our class, but we talked about many, many things where we give up the pure teaching of God for something else. And sometimes we do it thinking it's good, it's right. And we might save our church if we compromise, or if we're flexible in this way, then we will help the kingdom of God. But you can read through Scripture, and there is no place where the people of God make compromise with the pagan, with the unbelieving world, where they take on certain things or do certain things, and it goes well. It never goes well. God always brings discipline and judgment to his people who forsake the pure teaching and instruction of his precious word. Okay? So Paul's warning here that Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead is the thing. He is your living God. He is dwelling among you. And, he is bringing his gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Do not yoke yourself, match yourself, intermingle yourself with anything else, okay? You are the light. Don't mix with the darkness. You are righteous in him. Don't yoke yourself with lawlessness and rebellion. Don't call evil good and good evil, right? Like they do, like those people out there. Now, you can kind of see how this plays out maybe in the parable of the wicked tenants that we heard from Luke chapter 20. This was our gospel reading. This was the focus of the sermon. But you can see that the tenants who have been renting the vineyard from the Lord, the master, the owner of the vineyard, have indeed called what is good evil and evil good. They have yoked themselves with evil, with perversion, and they're not even thinking clearly. You see, they think that if they can beat enough messengers and send them away, and then if they can kill the beloved son of the Lord, then they will inherit the good. They think that if they do evil, they will receive the desire of their heart. They will receive what is good. And this is what I'm trying to say here is you can't have it your way. You can't do what is right in your own eyes, as the book of Judges ends, and think that you will inherit from God what you want. It doesn't work that way. The law of God never says this. You can't do things the way you think they should be done and forsake and reject the things of God. And this happens when we yoke ourselves with the world. We begin to think the way that unbelievers think. We begin to think about marriage in a way that unbelievers, lawless people, think about marriage. We begin to think about the role of men and women in the world and the way that they think about men and women. And in so doing, we reject the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, his instruction, his law. And then we begin to reject all of his good work that he does for us in Christ Jesus. And it just happens. It happened to Israel. It's happening to the church today. It happens to the church in Corinth. And don't think that we're safe because it's 2022. So we see here that in the parable that Jesus tells in our gospel reading, that God does something new. He does a new thing. He sends his beloved Son, who even though he's rejected by the people of God, he becomes the very most important cornerstone, the very most important foundational saving piece from which the church is built, the new people of God. So Jesus becomes that precious stone. Peter talks about this in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 2. We who believe that Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead is the means of salvation for us. That's where we look. We look to the cross where our sins are paid for, our debt is paid for, we're ransomed, we're taken out of slavery by the work of Jesus, where he gives his flesh and pours out his blood for us there in that place. By his wounds, our sins are forgiven. Okay? That's the cornerstone. Jesus is the place where we are built, the living stones. We are miniature living stones, Peter is talking about, being built up in Christ Jesus. If we shift our hearts to something else, some dead idol, whatever it might be, that the world is telling us is important and vital and will bring us peace and will bring us joy, will bring us freedom, if we shift away from Christ Jesus, our cornerstone, and we stumble on him, then he will crush us in judgment, right? And the world, unbelief, lawlessness will become, just like Israel, a snare for us, a thorn in our side. So it's an interesting discussion and lots to think about. This is something that should be on your mind, I think, on a regular basis. You should be evaluating the choices you make as a husband and as a wife and as parents and as grandparents. This should inhabit all how you constantly is. Am I yoked to something I should not be yoked to? Okay, now Jesus, when he speaks to his people, I can't remember which gospel. I should have looked this up, but. He says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he says, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So he has come in the flesh. He has brought you life and salvation, forgiveness of sins. And this yoke is good. This truth is good and something to delight in, and be careful in your life. Carefully evaluate the decisions you make. Are they influenced by the good and gracious yoke of Jesus Christ, our Savior, his word and truth, or have you yoked yourself to something else? Have you attached yourself to someone else? All right, so consider these things, and I pray that you have a blessed week. I'll see you Wednesday evening for our last Lenten worship, 7 o'clock. God be with you. God bless and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.